Good morning and welcome to Dr. Leonard's Pet Pointers. Well, today we're going to talk about exotic pets. You know, we've talked about definitions, so I'm going to give you my definition of an exotic pet. Exotic pet's anything that isn't a dog or a cat. They don't eat dog food, they don't eat cat food, so they must be exotic of some kind. These things include things like fish and birds and lizards and sugar gliders and snakes and ferrets and rabbits or whatever else you want to think of you want to keep in your house. First thing I want to tell you about exotic pets, never, you got that? Never do an impulse buy on an exotic pet. You will be sorry. You see that cute little thing in the pet store and say, oh, wouldn't that be fun to have? If you don't know all about that animal, you better not buy it because you're going to just end up either killing it or you're going to want to take it back and they're not going to take it back from you. So never buy on impulse. So what do you need to think about? If you don't want to fail with this, first thing you need to do is think about the environment. Most of these animals are not in normal environments. So what kind of environment does he have to live in? What temperature do you have to keep the animal at? What's the humidity? How many daylight and dark hours? Are they nocturnal? Are they going to be running around your house at night? A lot of times Kate from the Extension Service talks about getting plants to bloom, and she puts them in a certain temperature and a certain humidity and keeping so many hours of light. We already know that. Well, some animals require that same type of thing. Know what the environment has to be. Of all of the exotic animals that get into trouble, the most common thing that is a problem is the environment. So you have to research these things. You have to know what you're doing. The other thing you have to think about is how big is this thing going to get? You buy that cute little iguana that's about 4 inches long, and he's just so fun, and he runs up and down that little branch you put in the old aquarium. Well, let me tell you, one of my son's roommates in college had an iguana that was about 3.5 feet long, and his kennel was as big as a twin-size bed. Well, if you want to have one of those in your dorm room, I guess you can, but boy, sure took up a lot of room in their room, I can tell you that. Figure out how big this thing is going to get before you start into it. You buy a little python, you know, they can get to 18, 20 feet. There's been some stories about children being killed by them. Know how big this animal is going to get before you buy it. What kind of food do you have to feed it? Do you have to have live food? Do you have to have live crickets, live fish, live whatever? If you do have to have that kind of special food, then where are you going to get it? Do you have a source for that food? Are you going to have to drive to Des Moines or Omaha every time you need to get some new mealworms, or can you find mealworms in Atlantic Iowa? Things like that that you simply have to think about when you start talking about exotic animals. The other thing that you need to think about, and this is from my standpoint, is you have to have a veterinarian that knows about them. I can tell you, exotics are not my favorites. I know very little about them. I've learned some things over the years. I had a lady who called me one time and said, I have a Chinese water dragon, and he has an injured tail. I need you to help me with it. And I go, I don't even know what a water dragon looks like. But I did learn, and I found out that all I had to do was cut his tail off, and he grew a new one. So it was a relatively simple fix, but I had to call several people to find that out. So if you don't have a veterinarian to help you if your animal gets sick, be aware of that. You're going to have to travel to the city, probably to find someone, or to the zoo someplace, either Des Moines or Omaha. The thing that worries me the most about exotic animals, actually, is the human health hazard. There are lots and lots of things that these exotic animals carry that can be transmitted to humans. I'll give you a few examples. Salmonella. Salmonella is carried by almost all turtles. If you have a turtle, you have a 3 or 4 year old, don't let him handle the turtle because he's going to put his hands in his mouth before he eats and that's going to get him salmonella. This week we had a person with a lizard ask us to do a fecal exam and we found pinworms. Well, what we found out is the pinworms that the lizard has can be transmitted to humans. If you have a lizard, don't forget to wash your hands. Viruses in monkeys are big. Coccidiosis in birds. Those things are things that you really have to be careful with. The other thing that you need to think about is how old are your children? Are they old enough to handle some of these animals? Can they pick up a sugar glider without crushing it? If you have a scorpion, smaller the child, the more likelihood they're going to be injured badly by a bite. Anything with teeth, you need to watch it. Get your baby alligator out there, and he might be cute when he's 5 or 6 inches long, but when he reaches 12 feet, it's going to be a whole different world. Probably you're not strong enough to handle him unless you're an alligator wrestler. So the thing I want you to take home is think long and hard before you bring an exotic pet into your home. If you're going to do it, make sure you know all of these things. Know the environment, the nutrition, where you're going to get help if he gets sick or injured. I can't even tell you how to put a monkey under anesthetic safely without looking it up in a book. Be very careful with what you're doing. If you have any questions about this, give us a call at 243-2121. This is Dr. Leonard, located at Atlantic Animal Health Center, 1008 West 6th Street in Atlantic, Iowa.